Welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favorite co-hosts, as always, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, we are joined by two absolute fabulous ladies, the co-founders of FemCon, Shani and Chiquita. We absolutely adore these women. We first met them at their event, their inaugural event of FemCon earlier this year, and they are all about encouraging women to embrace their full force feminine power. So ladies, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
We are so, so excited to have you both. With every guest that we have, and obviously we're so blessed to have the both of you today, what we want to dive straight into is a little bit about you. Tell us top line who you both are, maybe a little fun fact that might surprise our listeners, and then we can get into part one of our two-part special.
We're like pointing at each other. We're like, who does this first? You go first.
Oh, no, you go.
Okay. Okay, so a little bit about myself. My name's Shani. I'm co-founder of FemCon, but I also do lots of social media influencing. I do some curve modeling on the side. Among all that, I'm a full-time mama, single mum. So yeah, lots of things happening in my world.
I'm Chiquita. I also am co-founder of FemCon with Shani. I also have a PR business, Chiquita & Co. Public Relations, and I also have an eyewear business called Chiquita Eyewear, and yes, I name everything after myself.
Yeah.
We're good. No.
We love that. Gotta have that personal branding.
Well, I always think, well, my name's so unusual, so why not take full advantage of it?
I agree.
No children.
Absolutely. It's memorable.
And that's probably me.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to get into these two episodes. let's just dive straight into it. How did you guys meet? What is the origin story of the two of you?
I'll take this one. Yeah, go. So essentially, I had just started my eyewear business, and I'd actually reached out to a mutual friend because International Women's Day was coming up, and I'd said to our friend, I just need an influencer. I was just starting to understand the influencer world. I'm not very savvy with social media. I'm still not. But at the time I realized that I wanted to do a collab for International Women's Day, and our friend Terry Lee actually said, have you heard of Shani Chantel? And I said, I hadn't. And back then it was the girl code, I think.
Yeah.
And so I reached out and slid into her DMs maybe I sent you an email. I probably didn't DM you at all, to be fair. I probably emailed you like the professional that I am. And then she responded and said, no, I'm busy. I wrote a good collab. And then I just told her, started talking. And she started doing my socials for the eyewear because I just had no idea and I didn't really want it. I don't love social media.
How that came about.
We had a Zoom. And I was saying how I don't know anything about it. And Shani was like, well, I know a lot about it. So yeah, we did that. And then actually, it turned into a friendship. We got drunk during COVID. Don't tell anyone. But yeah.
We love that. What all good friendships are based on? Getting drunk during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, naughty. And then, it all just kind of went from there.
Because she was by herself, like, the whole time in COVID. And I was, like, separating from my husband. And I was locked in this house with this beautiful baby and this husband that I could not deal with. And so I think we both lived super close. And we're just like, we literally cannot survive. Like, I couldn't survive. I was mentally suffering. I suffer so badly from depression. And at that time, that was just such a downtime for me.
And so I always think alcohol, so cool. come and drink with me. So she did.
Honestly, a glass of wine solves a lot of things.
We were like 3 minutes away from each other, so it kind of worked. And that, I guess, started it from there. Yeah. And now we get drunk together all the time.
No! There's a lot more to it, okay, guys? we were saying earlier today, like...
No, it's just wine, right?
Yeah. You test the friendship and you're like, you have those friends or those, you know, those... people who you work with, and you're like, oh, let's have a few drinks, and then you see from that one moment where it goes. Like, do you end up on a wild night out, or is it just those few drinks and then it's back to seriousness? So we have that beautiful balance.
And also, I don't think either of us were what the other expected. I think when you meet someone online, it's the same with dating.
Totally.
Because I didn't met Shani. It was all over Instagram.
Yeah, it is like dating. Zoom.
It's like dating, and you don't really under kind of full energy of someone and the full dynamic until you meet them in person. So when I met her, I was like, oh, you're shorter than I expected. But,
no, I remember you were like, you're not as chubby. <Right.
laughs> But I just... She was so small because on her Instagram, obviously
curves around.
Promotes curve modeling, and is very comfortable with her body, which has been very empowering for me, to be honest.
We love.
I just expected.
And also, something more.
I'm going to get cancelled. I can't.
We're like from the get go, we're just like all out there. So people just, they'll either love us or not.
Yeah, I have no filter, and sometimes I get in trouble.
We don't have to deal with cancel culture.
We don't believe in it.
We don't. But I also think I always like have to like explore my boundaries with people, and I don't think that for me that's not like pushing their limit or anything, but just seeing, I like to know where I stand in people's lives, and so I think that was important for us, because so we had this beautiful balance of sort of like even now with FemCon we can be in our business state of mind, but then we can also go, hey, do you want to go out and have a drink or chat about, you know, this date or like whatever. So we have, and I think sometimes that's when you can create the best, you know, for us it's like FemCon, the end product or, you know, the byproduct of FemCon is us being super close and open with each other, that then allows us to have this
I think anything you really create is an extension of who you are.
Totally.
So
if we need, I for me I'm like I need explore our friendship totally for us to be able to do film calling.
Not that far.
But we can produce the best thing out of our friendship when, you know, I feel like when I know someone fully, then yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And that was something that was really evident to us as participants, I guess, or attendees of FemCon. You guys clearly had such a beautiful and special friendship. And it's not every friendship where they feel like they have that balance in their relationship with their friends and they can go out and have those boozy nights or just chill days and have really good chats, but then also go into business together. Like, what was that like for you guys to navigate as newer friends going into business together?
I feel like it was kind of like this. I'm like, let's do it. I'm like all for the ideas. So when he was like, do you want to do this? I was like, yeah. But then it was like, okay, now we're packing 300 goodie bags and now we're doing all this stuff and we're having all these meetings and talking.
I don't think Shani had a full picture of how involved the event would be.
No, I had no idea.
So she was a little bit naive. I sucked her in.
Yeah, maybe.
I sucked her in hard.
She was like,
do you want to just do this?
I did. I remember when we sat down, we were talking about the numbers, and there was another babe that we know that was supposed to be a part of this, and she sort of quite like quickly,
she cut and run very quickly.
She backed out.
Oh my god, this sounds.
And then I was like, that's interesting.
Oh damn!
Wow.
And she's all about this kind of stuff. And that was when I started to think. And I remember saying to Chi, I'm like, so we should probably do like maybe 100, 150 tickets. And she was like, oh, I was thinking 500. And I knew in that moment, I was like, what the fuck have I got?
Oh my god.
We kind of culled it down. It was still too much fun.
And then it was panic. There was just panic. Abject panic.
Abort mission. But I also do know with myself that, like, unless I have a level of trust with someone, I'm kind of like follow the leader if I have that trust. But if I don't, I'll never dive
into. Does that make me the leader?
You're not the leader. But then
I think we have a record. She makes me the leader.
That'll be the title of the episode. She's the leader.
But I also feel like too, for me, like if someone's had a bit of experience in a field, then I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Like, because how bad can it be, right? And then
how bad?
But I mean, it was wild, wild chaos, but it was so much fun. Like what we pulled off in those few months, I think that sometimes people plan for a couple of like years possibly. So I think it proved who we are, the testament to our friendship. And then also, like, how important it was. There was a certain energy that we couldn't have planned in that room that was, like, ecstatic, and we all felt this buzz.
For sure.
Totally.
Actually, as guests, let's put us, you girls, on the spot. How did you feel about the event, just as guests, as feedback? What were your thoughts when you came in? What were your expectations before coming in versus how did you experience the event?
Yeah, I think for me personally, and I won't speak for Rosie, but for me, I went in with basically no expectations. I initially thought it was more of like a career development kind of day where it would be mostly business focused, but I was really pleasantly surprised that there were elements of that in there, but it was more about feeling into your feminine power, lifting each other up. The sense of community, I guess, that's created through knowing that you've all gone through different versions of something similar. And we walked away with this newfound energy and excitement for the podcast and, like, our careers, but also just ourselves generally. And I felt like I really connected with a lot of what the different speakers spoke about. Like, there were things about mindfulness and sex and sensuality and career stuff, as well as mental health. And those are all parts of being a woman. And, you know, there were so many amazing speakers who had really different but interesting and relatable perspectives, I guess, in their own way. So it was really cool to see so many people just so engaged and present and in the moment and willing to share, I guess.
I love that very much.
I think for me, I had a similar sort of like mindset of going into it, being like, oh, this is going to be like a career development day. I'm going to learn about marketing or how to be a manager or a leader and like maybe how to start a business. I don't know. And then we walked in and I quickly realized, I was like, oh, this is going to be about like being like a boss ass bitch and like embracing, like you say, your full force feminine power. I was not expecting the sex and sensuality and the orgasm talks and like the condom sponsorship, which is great. They actually, in, I don't know if you guys run the account, but they've reached out to now do a brand collab, which is fun.
No, I don't run that account. I don't run that account.
They've actually sent me, it arrived today. I haven't opened it yet. They just said they were going to put together a goodies bag, like a goodies box for me. So we'll wait and see. I'm sure there will be at least one condom in there, given they're a condom brand.
And they'll be extra large.
Okay, where was I? Back on track. In terms of how I felt leaving the event, very similar to Stella, I felt so empowered. Like, Stella and I had such a powwow on the way out of just like the podcast and our friendship, because similar to you, we're really good friends and I guess business partners running this podcast. I don't think for me, I felt as much connection as deeply with like the mindfulness and spiritual side of things, but that's just because that's not who I am. Like, that's just not my personality, but I could understand how much it touched others so deeply. Like, I saw how much it affected Stella and I was like, wow, that's so like deep and awesome and beautiful to see. But for me, it was just like the whole vibe of being there. It was like, you can't make that up. You cannot build that. And like trying to articulate that to other people, being like, how was the event? I'm like, you literally had to be there. Like, we all cried in the room.
Energy in the room.
There was. Yeah. And I think, cause it was our first event. Honestly, we were just hoping that it would go relatively smoothly. We didn't really have any expectation, and we hadn't even had a discussion about the energy or the chemistry of what would happen with everyone in the room and all the speakers and stuff. We just kind of ran with, because I'm a big believer in gut instinct and kind of things happening as they're meant to and playing out. And just the speakers all came together as they should. We didn't really have too many conversations with the speakers about what they would talk about. We had a high level understanding and that fit within the remit of what FemCon was about, but we didn't really go into a lot of detail or direct them in any way. So what came out on the day was completely organic. And I feel that the chemistry was just palpable in the room. And I didn't expect that.
And just adding on that, I also think that that comes back to our friendship as well, because people know us as individuals.
Totally.
And then they kind of know that, like, when they're around us, they can be themselves completely. So what you do in us when you're with us is you let down guard, because we are accepting you no matter what, you know, come as you are. And so I think when that is put on a stage and then in front of lots of people and they get that energy, then there's something that happens energetically in a space. And I'm a bit like you, Rosie, I'm not too spirit in that, but I think you, like you said, you can't make it up. You can't plan to be like energy in the room this lit or like this low. Like, it's like a reflection of who we are as people. And then when you put that non-judgment, very open type of character in front of other people, but also like really powerful people as well. We're not just like come as you are, we don't care who we are. That's not BS at all. But it's like people in who we are, we're confident, we're kind, we're loving, I'm empathetic, I'm not sure what we're labeling you as yet. She's worked on it. She's getting good at being empathetic.
To be honest, I have no issue with not being empathetic.
Get enough for both of us.
We can touch on that later on the controversial opinions, but I don't read empathy that much.
It created this really beautiful space. And, you know, I think we didn't have that conversation, and it probably sounds silly that we didn't, but honestly, like me, not knowing what events are, I was just like, I'm sure it'll be great. But then also all of the speakers that we'd connected with and that we knew, you know, individual people, I think they also know that about us. And we said that. We're like, we want FemCon to be women who are unpolished. We don't want someone that is completely successful, only promoting that they, you know, they go to bed at this time and they do this and that. That's not us. That's not our lives. You're pretty good at bedtimes, but it's just not me. And, you know, we accept people for who they are. It's that, I think it's that simple, really.
Well, also, I don't know if you've ever been to a business event and you've had, you know, some really high-level speakers, like really top-line, really big, well-named, well-known, successful. It's boring.
It is. It's boring.
It is boring. And you kind of like, and they roll out the same chat talk. They've got one keynote that they roll out across every single event. So you've seen one, you've seen them all, but it's just boring. There's no chemistry. There's no kind of excitement.
And I think fun sometimes, like not fun. I feel like sometimes we
That'll
learn
never
from that,
be what we do.
But it's not. We're both very successful in what we do.
Yeah.
That's not without the fun. Like, we're successful.
Yeah, fun.
We're business women, but we're also having the fucking time of our life.
I mean, the tagline for our next event, let's get glam.
Let's get glam and slam. And I was like, looked at Chi and I was like at the end of the table, I was like, what do we want to do at events? And we're like, well, one, we want to get boozy and we also want to make friends. Let's do that.
Hell yeah. Cool.
And we want to look good doing it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
I love that you guys mentioned it being unpolished because there was this sense of authenticity about the day. All of the speakers with you guys and how you presented yourselves, like it was one of those things where in the nicest way possible, you could kind of tell at times it was your first event, but honestly that led to the charm. Like it's part of what made the day so special.
Yeah, it was honest.
It wasn't like you guys were these robots who had done a million of these events and like have everything so deeply regimented that, you know, everything's scheduled down to the very minute. Like it was raw and real and authentic and it just felt like you guys were honestly sharing a piece of yourself with all of us. And that's part of what made the event so special. So I know in our initial call before recording with you guys, you'd spoken about the feedback side of things and how it was difficult to hear some of it. But honestly, I think disregard a lot of that feedback if there was anything about the running of the day itself.
Totally.
Because for us as attendees, it went about as smoothly as it could have gone. And we loved that authenticity and that realness. And it was a little bit rough around the edges at times. Like that's what contributed to making it such an amazing event.
Totally.
Yeah, well, it definitely wasn't a well-oiled machine, let's be honest.
It wasn't.
But, you know, that made us more honest.
And let's be honest, I think that when we realise that each other don't have it all together, we open up completely, and that's what made that magic in that room, is we were two hot messes.
Wow.
I think it's
I am actually going to give Shining credit. He's very good with vulnerability. I am not so much. I don't enjoy vulnerability at all, but through our friendship, she's actually shown me how to be more vulnerable. So I think in those instances I'm a lot more comfortable being in that vulnerable space because of my friendship with Shani than just quiet down. It's sentimental. And you know, she's very a very safe person to be, you know, yourself around. You can really open up and literally tell her anything, and that's really nice.
That's nice. I'm gonna put one last bit on there as well. I think a lot of things. And I think that something beautiful happens when other women see other women just giving it a go. Like there's literally nothing else happening than trying to create a space to remind you that you are powerful, you are amazing. No, we don't know what we're doing, but we do know this much.
You know things.
That you are all those things. We know a little, I mean, but I think that there's something really helpful.
We totally know things. We know something.
You know things. I just follow along. And I pretend like you know, I'm like, yes, I totally get that. And then I'm searching like all kinds of shit online before she texts back.
I just think that sometimes when I've seen really success, because there were some really successful women. I mean, Prue was on that stage. Mm. She's a single mom but has her own business. She earns all her money. She does all kinds of things. Then there's me doing my influencing and all these beautiful collabs. And I'm a tiny little fish in the Instagram world, but I've worked with some of the most, you know, household brand names within my 4 years. And so I really pride myself on that. All these women that were on stage that were like really quite successful in their space but weren't polished. And I find power in that. And I think, Stella, like you said, that you felt the vulnerability of that and, you know, and it made you feel things. So that's special too.
Yeah. Well, something that I realize we haven't really spoken about in great detail is how did FemCon actually come about? Like, where did this all start? What made you guys want to put on this event in the first place?
I was just on a walk and I was with a friend and I think I just said to her, we're going to put on an event. She's like, sure. And I'm like, I'm going to tell Shani. Well, she'll do it with us.
That was
and,
the way. It was like, that was
I
it.
Love
and
that.
And I cut back and I WhatsApped her. Should we do an event? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And then came up with the name and and then at the point where I said I want to have three people there, the other party tapped out pretty quickly. But then Shani hung in there with me. So. Okay.
I also know she'd like beat the daylights out of me. Also, like, scary. If I said no, she'd be like, she's that friend sometimes you just say yeah because you're like, yeah, I'll be so scared. Pure pressure. But also knowing that I know that Chiquita's very driven and she motivates me all the time. Just there is no one hands down. You can sit at the table with this woman and the way that she types and gets shit done.
Oh my God.
There is, I mean, you were like the typing queen at school or something. I remember
I was. In grade 10, we had electric typewriters. This is showing my age. But there was one girl who was faster than me.
Oh my God.
I got there. Oh. And then I was the fastest in grade 11 and 12 in secretarial studies. And I was up the top of it. So I just want to let everyone know I was the fastest typer in my.
And she does. Every time we do.
I'm very competitive.
No, I didn't sense the competitiveness at all.
You should just change your Instagram bio to leader, comma, fastest typer.
I will like challenge my knee and beat them. I had one guy think I wasn't going to beat him. I broke a nail beating him. I was like, literally going to go to the death.
Oh my God, the dedication.
But when you asked me, it was like pre-COVID when I wanted to organize a little event and I'd started like chatting to my community about it and I was really excited about it and I just wanted to put on exactly what it was that I wanted to do, but when I think about it now, it was more so like a space to like come and celebrate yourself and your body and all that stuff with a side of like sassiness and powerfulness, like, you know, that whole thing. So I think that's why I said yes so quickly, because I was like, well, I didn't actually end up doing it on my own, so maybe if I have someone with me, I'll actually be able to do that. So yeah, that was it for me, I guess.
Honestly, there's so many similarities between you guys talking about how FemCon was birthed and us with the podcast as well.
Totally.
Like, Rosie literally messaged me out of the blue, hey, do you want to start a podcast with me? Lol. And I half thought she was kidding. And now here we are, like, over a year later, I think. And we have this podcast and, you know, we never would have thought that it had actually gotten to this point. It sounds really similar to you guys as well. So I love that you mentioned that that's kind of how it came about for you. In terms of key challenges though, because I'm sure it hasn't been the smoothest sailing the entire way, and during our initial call you did mention that there were some speed bumps along the way. So what were some of those big challenges that you faced and how did you overcome those and push through and be like, nope, we're going to do this anyway, it's going to be worth it?
Oh my God. Do you want to?
Because
a lot happened. I feel like.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back now. So what?
Oh my God. Like, okay, so I'm driving along, heading towards the city in Melbourne, and I'm like, I don't know where I was going or what I was doing, but I get this text from you, and you said to me, oh my God, guess what? And I'm like I shake and I dance and I get all excited when something happens. And so I'm just like driving along and I look down, naughty again, but I look down and on my phone she said, Maybelline said yes or something like that. And I just remember that was like our first sponsor. Oh my God. We are nobody at this point. We've done nothing.
We've barely got a website. I found some poor guy on Upwork and built our website.
Yeah.
We had nothing. We had, we do have a very good graphic designer. Shout out to Lulu, who put together a very impressive
Your graphics are beautiful.
Deck for us. Yeah. Which, you know,
thank you.
Lulu. That is Lulu. But I'd started sending out the gift bag sponsorship because we wanted to have really great gift bags,
mm-hmm.
and you have to send out a lot of emails to get, you know, a good response. And so I'd been pounding out these emails and I had crickets. It was radio silence and I was starting to panic. And I just said to the universe, because I'm very spiritual, so I'm a big believer in the universe. Mm. I'm a big believer in manifestation and I believe in angels and fairies. I pray every night to them. And I... I have an actual cute. Prayer that I say.
That's cute.
It's a very long one. But I was saying to my, I just said to a prayer to the universe, and I just said, I just need one. I just need one to tell me that this is okay. So I always look for signs from the universe to reassure me that I'm on the right track. And so I said, I just need one to let me know I'm on the right track. And that day I got... L'Oreal, and they said, yes, we'll put in 300 units from both Maybelline and Essie, and I lost my pants.
And that was the text message.
It just was all systems go. We just got emails and yes.
Yeah. And there there was moments of smooth sailing.
Yeah.
It was just not. And we, you know, like if we're going to get super vulnerable, I mean, we talk about money all the time and money's not this taboo
Ticket
subject.
Sales were very, very
it was, strong. We were pushing, we were literally hustling to sell tickets. We were, oh my God, we were like pulling money from our own account. Like we literally, if we're honest, like FemCon was so hard to pull together in terms of like, because people are excited for things, it gets alive, and then we've done it all before. We save something, we're like, I'm going to go to that, send it to my friend. We don't go, we don't buy the ticket, but like the hype was there. So we're like, how do we get that? How do we get people to be excited? But honestly, we, like I said, Instagram following, we had no rapport other than my audience, which some of them pulled through, some of them didn't, some of them were really excited, and that's nothing to do with the audience, but it was also the time we came out of COVID, where a lot of, like, you know, middle class families were really, really struggling. The average Australian family were really struggling.
Totally.
So for us, I kept saying to Chi, I'm like, this isn't going to happen, people can't buy. We'd sell a ticket and then it'd be like a week before we sold another one, and we'd be like, what have we done? Oh my God. This big building, these people that were like, we need a deposit, 15k, another 15k is due. Like, it just kept on going, God. And we were like, we're drowning, we're gonna drown.
Yeah, and we had some discussions around the ticket prices, because I set the ticket prices and because I believe in value, and I always just think that we don't want to ever undervalue what we're offering, because, I mean, what we were offering was, you know,
a full day catering,
the gift bags worth $800 each, I mean, and people just weren't buying, and so we had some robust discussions
around
the prices, because Shani felt they were overpriced. I was like, well, no, I think this is a good deal, and the funny thing is we were selling VIP tickets for, you know,
$400, $450,
but not general admission, and we couldn't work it out, so we were selling the VIPs. I'm like, well, but people are buying.
Why are people buying VIP?
And we sold all the VIPs and then the general admission to move, and we couldn't quite grasp why.
We were like, why do people happily spend $400, $450
and no one was buying general admission, which was like $100 cheaper?
And we were like, we're going to have this room of VIPs.
Only two rows back. Why aren't you buying?
But I think, too, I was coming from a place of like coming out of a marriage that was really tricky. I didn't have my own money, and there was lots of different things.
And we have really different belief systems around money. And
I was like, I want everyone to afford it. I want all the women like myself at the time who just need that one thing to give them that spark to get out of their shitty friendship or relationship or their struggle. You know, it could be that one thing that changes their life. But then,
I believe that if you want something badly enough, you'll find the money to make it happen. Mm.
And also, they were, like, the tickets, what it included, it was, you know, they weren't overly priced. But we, you know, I've been to similar events where the tickets are around the same price, but there was less involved and I got less out of it.
Wow.
So I was just, I'm kind of come from this place of love. And I was like, I want to be involved. And then she
I'm coming from, we have to
business side. She's like, we're doing this shit for free. Here's another thing that makes this weirdly work. So, yeah, it's a bit of both. Yeah, there was lots of stuff. Like I said, I was in the middle of a separation that had been going on for a good couple of years, but it was that time where we came out of COVID and I can finally like really voice up and be like, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. We're not going to just live together because we're stuck in COVID. There was all that kind of stuff. And then also that's hard with a friendship because I think that was it stretched our friendship, but also it was constantly like proving to your friends, I really mean this. I want to do it. Please believe me because I want to get out of this really hard situation. Yeah. And then there were times where like,
and I also struggle with the concept because I've never been married. Yeah. I've never had a child. I've not ever been in that situation. And I can compartmentalize my feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, I can sort of go, all right, well, we just need to get on this and, you know, focus. Yeah. And I think that's not probably the best approach in all circumstances, but I also was new.
It pushed me to keep going.
But I also knew how much work we still needed to do to get to the end point. Coming from an events background, and I just was like, we can't falter at the 11th hour. We need to keep pushing here.
We had even like other speakers that were at the event that like reached out to us and said like, hey, this is like, you know, you're so new. Why don't you postpone it? Like, do it after. There was even ideas like from other people that were like, hey, typing into us, why don't you just postpone it and say you got COVID? Like, just fake it till you make it kind of thing. And we were like, no, we're like doing this and this is happening.
Wow.
We don't care how high up you are, how wonderful your advice is. Yeah. We have to do it. Because we said we were going to do it. And no matter what happened, we were like, we were balls deep, to be honest. And we have to do it.
Yeah. We're financially very committed.
I don't know at what point the view of $30,000 was a good idea when we never even had one Instagram follower, but we did do that. It sounds silly, but at the time we knew our reason. We were like, we really wanted to impact heaps of people really quickly.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a whole
thing. And I also just think you've got to go on a limb. You've got to just take a leap of faith and, you know. Don't they say that when you jump off a cliff, you just got to build the plane on the way down?
Maybe.
Did you make that up?
LinkedIn. But the other thing too, now that we're doing this event, we learned so much with our first event that this next event we're just like kind of like, I want to say cruising along. We still have a lot to do, but we just know what we're capable of. It's like when you've been pushed to the maximum capacity, anything after that is like, this is great, we can do it. Yeah. So there's beauty in that.
And
as
also
well.
My advice to other event organizers, don't ask for feedback.
I love that. What do you think were the biggest learnings then that you guys are taking from running your first event and now going into running your second one in 2023?
Everything. Honestly, everything. For me personally, like just the way we've structured it, the things that work, finding, and also I said to Chi earlier today, we got this one message that I'm going to post later, which I really love. And it was this beautiful like woman that had come out and said, sent us a message and said, that one day introduced me to this other business coach or this life coach. She does a bit of both. And it's changed my life. And she's like, I did not know that I was going to walk into that room and meet one that would change my life completely. Oh my God. I have goosebumps. And so I just think about that and I'm like,
that's so beautiful.
I'm like fearless with it now. Like I'm fearless in other parts of my life, but like FemCon I wasn't. So after that first one, now I'm fearless. And we'll meet our people where they're at. I think that was something we spoke about earlier today.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, what was one of the biggest wins? We've covered some of the learnings, but was there one moment where you guys were like, that is what really, really sticks out to us?
Just the chemistry on the day. I mean, I know we touched on it earlier, but can't actually create that. You can't anticipate how an event will unfold. I think you can do all the legwork, the logistics, the plan, all that stuff, but that's not something that you can really, you know, manufacture. It's either there or it's not. And I did not anticipate in the room, and I know that we say that a lot, but to be honest, it's probably been the most, probably out of all the events I've ever been to or actually participated in, that one was probably the one that has had literally the most like chemistry in the room, and just the energy, the excitement, the level of participation, the openness. I mean, Eleanor's dance.
Oh my God, yes. Amazing.
Incredible.
I didn't share anything on the day because I was so busy. running around. And yeah, and I don't like to say anything goes viral. I don't know if it went viral, but I feel like there was so much shared on the day and so much content out there. And one of my male friends, I said, oh yeah, he looked good. I'm like, oh, did you see? He's like, yeah, everyone saw it. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, did you see? And he said, yeah, I saw the lap dance. Because I had a highlight. It was just amazing. But just, yeah, everyone, and one of the speakers said, you know, on the day, this is the best event I've ever been to. And she goes to a lot of events and retreats. And
it was, so the highs were, like, super high.
It just went better than I expected, even though we did fumble a little bit, even though it wasn't a smooth, well-oiled machine, even though there were and moments also, of disorganization. I just think that the culmination and the combination of what was delivered just worked. This event is in my DNA, you know. I fully believe it's part of my purpose here, and everything in my life has led to this event. So, you know, I'm very, very, very dedicated to it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And we've talked about too, like many times, we're like randomly working and we'll be like, where do we fit in as people?
Where do we fit in?
But that's just the thing. It's like we don't have our spot or our space where we go. So we're like, well, there are other women like us. Let's just create our own. And we're like, fuck it. Let's just create it ourselves.
This community is just for women like us. We just want to have fun. Totally. I just think that fun is underestimated. So I think that any event that we have, we want people to just really realize. I think, yeah, education is important, obviously, but the entertainment factor, what did they call it? Edutainment.
Yeah.
Can do those. And I don't think you have to have a stuffy business curious anymore to get your point across.
Yeah.
And we're going to touch on different things next year, but we're going to do it in a way that's unique to us and that's fun. I mean, you know, name another event that's going to give you a condom date box and a vibrator in one
and teach you to love yourself.
I love it. I think that is the perfect note to end our part one of our two-part special with these fabulous ladies. Thank you both so much for taking us through a little bit more about what it's really like to run an event, go into partnership in business with one of your best friends, how you guys met. Like, it's so good for us to hear that. And I know that our audience would be gaining so many amazing things as well. So as we finish up this first episode, let's plug the event. Let's plug your socials. Where can people connect with you? Where can they find tickets for your next event? Spill the details.
Oh, thank you. The next event is A Feminine Affair, the Galentine's Day edition. So it is on the 10th of February. So it's just it's the Friday before Valentine's Day next year. Whether you're single or not, you're going to leave the event with a vibrator, a date box, a goodie bag,
Amazing. And
some newfound friends. Yes, we've got Vush as one of our sponsors, Moments Condoms. We're going to have a pop-up cocktail bar. What else?
It's a big, busy day.
Yeah,
lots of fun. Lots of mingling, lots of shopping. We also have Eleanor coming back, Popular Demand.
Talking about self-pleasure. Yes.
Yeah. So it really is an event about, you know, self-love and all the other good stuff that comes with it.
So early bird tickets are currently on sale. So they're $139 till the end of the year, and then they ramp up to a big $159. And we're on Instagram at femcon.co.
Did you guys want to plug your own socials as well? Where can people follow you guys?
So you can follow me, Shani, at shani.chantel over on Instagram.
And I'm at Chiquita Searle.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much, guys. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned for episode 2, which will be coming out very soon. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.